whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I mean, I hate losing no matter what the situation is. So, yeah, the deeper you get into it, you hate having kind of deja vu. So you're trying to not allow your mind to go there, but again, maintain the hope and belief that we can, this team can win. But it's frustrating. Yeah, nobody. I hate when you experience winning, you hate losing even more because you know what it takes to get there. And if you don't have the answers, it's a rough feeling on a night to night, especially when nights like tonight happen.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph, the segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. The Warriors have lost back-to-back games by a combined 46 points. They're now 18-18 on the season. And heading out for a 4-game road trip that begins in Detroit on Thursday. It's going to be chilly, of course, and Detroit's playing some good basketball right now. They are, folks. They're 18-18 for a young team that is ascending. They're 9th in the Eastern Conference, but they're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 4 games in a row. They outlasted Minnesota over the weekend, despite 53 from Anthony Edwards. So, Kay Cunningham, get familiar with him. You'll see a lot of him tomorrow. He's averaging over 24 points a game, 9.5 assists, 7 rebounds. The guy's having a spectacular season. Jaden Ivey, unfortunately, got hurt, so we'll see how they replace him. But Tim Hardaway Jr. stepped up. Let's get to Cam real quick. He's been on hold for a while. 888-957-9570. What do you do about the Golden State Warriors right now, folks? What is your move? What is your move to build the Warriors back up? Cam, what's up?
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing?
I've been better. I'm good. No, I'm
sure,
oh,
sure.
No, seriously. All seriousness, I'm great. I'm great.
That's good. That's good. Before I get to where I want to say, Bonte, I caught you two nights ago on a Golden Days podcast. You was walking through the arena and ended up on there. Why did you lie to all those people and say, you be criticizing Steve Kerr? Come on, man. But anyway, I want you to answer that after. But
I can answer it for you right now. I mean, did you not hear me 2 years ago talk about his lineups and how I didn't like his lineups over and over again with the youngsters? No, I don't. I guess not. Go ahead, Cam.
Yeah. Okay. But I would say the biggest thing with the Warriors is size. We don't have enough size. Even if we do have enough size, Kerr would not play the guys that have size. It takes players to go out for him to play Kyle Anderson, Moody, when Moody is way better than Pods, Lindy Waters, and GP2. Like we was 12-3, and then Kerr started messing with the roster. Everybody thinks that it was melting. He definitely helped us, but before when Melton was out, Moody was starting and Moody was doing his thing. And then after we beat the Celtics, Kerr took Moody out for GP2 and we lost to the Celtics.
No, they beat the Celtics.
The main
they
problem
beat the,
is
Cam,
Kerr
Cam,
with
get
his
your, coach. Hold on, Cam, stay on the line, Cam, because obviously you're losing something there. They beat the Celtics. They beat the Celtics in Boston.
I know, but the next game, Moody started against the Celtics, but he took Moody out against the Cavaliers.
You think they're struggling GP2. Because – do you honestly believe they're struggling because they're not playing Moses Moody enough? Honestly, you think that's the
– I honestly believe that if Moses Moody had Podziemski minutes all those games before he got hurt, we would have a way better record than we do now. When Kerr goes to these small lineups – Schroeder was supposed to be like CP3, running the bench, running the non-Curry minutes, not playing with Curry. Curry doesn't need another point guard.
Can I enlighten you on something, Cam? Do you realize that Moses Moody played 13 minutes against Boston?
I do. I just was researching before I called you guys.
Yeah, well, he played 13 minutes. And then I'll ask for anybody here if we're gonna play this game, because I understand people are mad. And when I didn't even jump on the podcast, I was just walking by right away. I was like, Bonte, so I, whatever. With Guy Cyrus, he goes, are you guys going to rip Steve Kerr? I was like, what would you like me to say about Steve Kerr? Well, honestly, if you want us to rip Steve, what do you want me to say? Fire Steve Kerr? Is that going to make you feel better?
Who's the greatest coach of all time?
Right, he's the best coach.
No. Who is?
All time? Between Red Auerbach, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich. Steve Kerr has 4 rings.
Okay, no. Forget Steve Kerr. Put him to the side. All of those guys are on a staff together coaching this team. How many more games are they better?
A couple? Maybe.
Come on, Warrior fans. Like, this is where I get frustrated, because I'm like, look, we could lose our minds, and I don't think Kerr's that great this year, and I get frustrated with certain things and whatever, but the reality is, the players aren't that good. Well, and here's the thing. Up until this recent little run, Steph Curry and Draymond Green were a large part of some of their failures in the fourth quarter. And I know that we want to point and identify and blame roster construction and these mythical trades that should have been made that didn't get made. And they were in a lot of these games, and players didn't execute. That's number one. Number two, now they're down their second best player, Jonathan Kuminga. And boy, do a lot of people have a lot of... things to say nice about Kuminga nowadays.
Well, I told Willie yesterday that I'm gonna do this now. And I told Willie I was gonna do this. 888-957-9570. Would you like to call in and apologize about your JK slander? Because since December 1st, he has been your second best player. 21 a game, 7 rebounds, not taking a lot of threes, playing defense, and he's learning how to get better. Is he an All-NBA player? Probably not.
No.
But he's 22 years old.
Isn't he more reliable offensively currently than Andrew Wiggins?
He's more reliable than anybody outside of Stephen Curry.
We're in agreement.
I've never wavered off of that with Jay. JK's a special talent. Now, is he going to be a Hall of Famer? I don't know. We don't know that. He's 22 years old.
Making the Hall of Fame's
hard. He's 22 years old. Where was Kawhi at when he was 22 years old? But since we're, because I already see where this is going today. I already see where it's going. Where, and Cyrus said this on a Golden Spaces podcast,
Cyrus?
I don't know. He was on a podcast with Ryan Leong where I walked by.
Gotcha.
Ryan goes, come on, Ryan. So I was on there for like 3 minutes.
Okay.
And so he goes, hey, man, are you guys going to rip Steve Kerr tomorrow? And I'm like, what would you like me to say about Steve Kerr? I go, you act like on this show that we've never criticized Steve Kerr. Constructive criticism. Now, if you want me to scream and yell and kick and scream and say fire Steve Kerr, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have a measured approach when talking about these sports teams. That's what I do. So that's number one. Number two, 2 years ago when we talked about the team, the Anthony Lambs and the Jeremy.
It drove me crazy.
Anthony Lamb and Jeremy...
Jeremy Lamb.
No, not Jeremy. Jeremy Lamb. No, Anthony Lamb. Who's my guy? And Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome, who I was thinking about. Ty Jerome. I remember having a conversation with somebody in the Warriors, closer to the Warriors, and I said, I don't believe Steve Kerr has done a great job in his lineup combinations. That was 2 years ago.
Well,
so don't come at me talking about... Hey, man, you never criticize Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr's a hell of a coach, but he's got his flaws. And I've been weary of, like, man, Moses Moody starting or not? Or is it GP2? Or is it short? But at the same time, in the NBA, you need talent. You need players. And right now, you got too many damn specialists on the team. One guy can do one thing. Another guy can't do this. When you look at some of these lineups, you're like, damn, you got a lot of non-shooting lineups out there. How are you going to get a shot up? So the Heat just sat in the zone.
The team has been constructed in a way where they try to cover up some of their deficiencies. So I look at Steph, for example. We all underrated prime Clay because Clay could wipe away all of the defensive... Why are you shaking your head?
I'm just going to say that No, we all didn't underrate Klay Thompson. I think a lot of you knew who Klay Thompson was.
No, I know,
you
know, but I'm saying like time. Time has passed since prime Klay to where he is now. Like a lot of us have forgotten. I'm just being real. Like we forget. You know, like this is who he was. No, he's one of the greatest, you know, cover-up players of all time. You throw him on the best perimeter player on the outside, and then that allows Steph to catch his breath playing someone who's not a factor offensively.
Yep.
Now, I think the league has adjusted a lot. There are less and less non-threats on the floor at any given time. Back in the day, you could have multiple non-threats, okay? And you'd have goons and guys like that. It's just the league's not like that anymore. Well, the Warriors are almost a bygone product of a lost era because they have a lot of non-factors on offense. GP2.
Yep.
You know, and look, Tracy's scoring a little now, but most nights he's going to be a non-factor in terms of scoring.
No doubt.
A lob threat. Okay, not a threat from beyond the arc. Draymond Green. And when you play heavy minutes with Draymond Green, he's a non-shooter and a non-factor. And so what ends up happening is the Warriors are playing an outdated, redundant brand of basketball because they're trying to cover up certain flaws because of their inability to develop and identify their own players who can offset what Steph does bring to the table. I go right back. To me, it all starts with the two-guard spot, and I think that they failed to fill that void from Klay's fall from what he was, and that's been their biggest issue as a team, and that's deeper than Steve Kerr.
It's deeper than Steve Kerr, no doubt about that. Not only that, you think about Jordan Poole, who's averaged a career high in a lot of categories this year, and I know he's not Klay. He's never going to be the defender that Klay is. But when you need a guy to break down a defense and get a bucket and have explosiveness, you don't have that right now.
Yes.
You don't have anybody. Like, even Dennis Schroeder, he's 32 years old. He's struggling.
He's not as fast.
Blown by guys at the point of attack. Jordan Poole could do that. And Jordan Poole could break down that defense and get everybody out there. So, 888-957-9570.
We're going to talk about the Jordan Poole trade forever, huh?
9570. I'm going to be honest with you, Shasky.
I hated that trade the day it happened.
I went crazy. I saw a bunch of missed calls from Shasky, saw a bunch of missed calls from somebody else.
You traded a 23-year-old who had a down year for a 40-year-old.
Well, let Andre Iguodala tell it. He had a down year, still averaged 20. So
I just I felt similar to the fan base in like at the end of that Lakers series, you couldn't roll back with him. I get it. But to me, that was the exact offseason where I'm like, oh, well, if you're going to move Poole, which is fine, okay? You want to move off Poole, fine. You also had to move off of Draymond. And then simultaneously, last year at the deadline, when you had the expiring contract of CP3, when you acquired that player, that was the time to deal him.
Well,
the time to deal him was at the deadline. And so you traded a 23-year-old asset that netted you nothing.
That's on the front office.
Poor asset allocation.
That's on the front office. Here's the other deal, though. And you got your finances in order if you're to go to State Warriors. But the reason why I keep going back, and I was going to say this, that situation between Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, things just haven't been the same since that moment.
No.
And it's okay to admit it. It's okay to admit it. They went 0-5 on an early road trip that year, and I thought, oh boy, how are we going to get through this season? And every time they would go on a little heater, I think they had multiple 5-game winning streaks, but nothing was sustainable that year. And so they did, like, it was miraculous that they advanced to the second round and got to play the LA Lakers. It was actually a miracle, considering what went on that season. How could it be kumbaya and have all this camaraderie when a situation like that happens? An organization, I wonder, they had an opportunity to go back and redo things in terms of suspensions or the way they handled the situation. I wonder if they do it differently. Because they said it was the biggest crisis in the organization that they were dealing with. And a lot was made about the leaked video. Well, you know, I don't know who leaked the video. We still don't know. And I just felt bad for Jordan Poole because it's like, damn, he got hit. And it flipped to where, oh, well, Jordan Poole was being arrogant. He was calling this guy, that guy, this guy, this guy. And it's just like, all right, here we go again. So it hasn't been the same since that moment. It hasn't. It just hasn't. And here we are now with an 18-18 team that is getting older, that has a lot of specialists, that can't score in the half court, that can't score against a 2-3 zone. it is a struggle right now for the Golden State Warriors. And as Steph said, he doesn't have the answers. I don't have the answers. I don't know if you have the answers. The rebuild is getting closer and closer and closer to happening with this team and this organization. Or they're going to sit it out and wait till the summertime and try to land another big fish. But if Draymond, and I'm going to go back to Draymond Green here because I'm looking at his splits, and he got off to a great start from the three-point line. I was, wow, he's being aggressive. That aggressiveness has evaded him over the last week. It is. I know you're laughing, but I'm looking at the month of December. And this game is all about confidence, right? Confidence, confidence, confidence. Steve Kerr said, a crisis of confidence. Draymond Green in the month of December played 9 games, started 7, shot 32.4% from 3. Now he's back down to 33, but he's not shooting it, and he's not being aggressive. There was a situation yesterday where he's at the rim. It just lay it up, go up, and he passes out to the three-point line. So when we talk about the triple threat position and having your back turned to the basket, not even looking at the basket, that's not going to help this team right now with the way it's constructed. It's just not.
There'll be times when I'm scrimmaging with my eighth grade team and I'll be playing with like a kid from the fifth or sixth grade on my side, and it's 5-on-5, and I'm actively going out of my way to not take over the game and get the little fifth grader the shot. When I watch Draymond on offense, it's like he is so hell-bent on not looking at the hoop. He has to do the shovel pass. And screen. You guys know exactly what I'm talking about. It's this like shovel pass auto screen, and people are like, oh.
Right.
Wow, Dre.
It's Ben Simmons-esque is what it is, and that's a problem. Like, even Ben Simmons at times will actually just go and just try to dunk it.
No, he won't.
Well, he used to.
Well, but I get your point. The other night,
come on. No, but that's where we're at offensively. He's getting compared to Ben Simmons.
And this is where I'm going to go Dr. Phil on you as I go guru. But, like, I felt the other night when Zach Edey and Draymond going at it, and then you followed up with the Kings thing, and then he set a screen that should have been a foul. Yep. And to see Steve Kerr go way over the top to defend Draymond Green, I said, oh my God, this guy's got him wrapped around his hand. I mean, Kerr is so worried about keeping Dre on point that we can't even be realistic. He fouled a guy with a ridiculous screen.
Terrible foul.
Why are you arguing it? Why are you getting teched up?
Yeah, it wasn't
what
a flop.
What are you doing?
Well, it wasn't a flop. There was three possessions.
Dre fouled him.
There was three possessions where Keanu Ellis went in for a layup, and Dre fouled him hard. Fouled him hard. Prevent the layup. Fine. And then another possession, they called the movie screen on Draymond Green, on Keon Ellis, and Draymond Green tried to help out Keon Ellis, and Keon Ellis refused his hand. He said, nah, my teammates are coming. I'm good. And Malik Monk and Draymond had some words or whatnot. And then later on, that possession happened where Draymond just, wow, boom, somebody better call out a screen, but got hit. Steve Kerr went crazy, called a flop. It was irate. Doug Christie got on the court and defended his team. It was like, no, that's not a flop. That's not a flop. And then Malik Monk passed it out, and Kevin Herter hit a three. And I don't know if you heard this on the mic. If Draymond hits a three, he goes, boom, boom. Well, Kevin Herter hit a three, and he went, boom. Malik Monk was like, boom, giving it right back to Draymond Green. And then you got the Zach Edey thing, which is just, I don't know.
I just thought it was so unnecessary.
It goes back. So you got to get Draymond back in order here. It's, I don't know what's going on right now, but he's 34 years old. He's liberal. Lumbering up the floor, it does not look good right now. It does not look good right now. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. But I see things like this, Shasky.
What's that?
Where I just can't subscribe to it.
What was that?
The leash given to Steve Kerr is ridiculous. He might be the worst coach in the league.
I mean, come
on. That's just that's just a dumb thing to text and a waste with your phone. But if you want Steve Kerr gone, he has another year left on his deal. And it's an anomaly for a coach to walk into a walk year and coach a team. Usually they want an extension. They want to get extended. I don't know what's going to happen with Steve Kerr. I don't know if Joe Lake, like, where's Joe Lake? Joe Lake may not be pleased with this. You know what I'm saying?
He can't be thrilled.
Oh, hell no, he's not.
Why do you guys think there is so much hate for Steve Kerr? Is it like a Steph fandom thing? Because this was hate getting in summertime. I get the Boston Celtics fans because Jason Tatum, they thought he was God's gift to the earth. He should have been in the starting lineup. Whatever. Like, that was a lot of like the Celtics Twitter. Yeah. But even towards like the end of like the final two games of the Olympics, he was getting crushed for some ungodly reason. Like, I don't get it. Why is he hated so much?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I think it depends on who you're talking to. So I think for the Steph stands, it's you're never doing enough for Steph, right? Whatever that
they,
means.
They want more pick and roll with Steph.
Even know what that means. It's ridiculous. And then for me, I'll tell you mine. There are seminal moments like Greg Popovich not having Tim Duncan on the floor and they don't get that rebound. Like those are things though. Those are like you talk to any great coach in any sport. They've got if you win enough games, you'll have horrific losses that you look back on. 2016, you know, God love him, and he's your goal worker, but there was a situation with Festus, and he played, I thought the whole sequence was botched, the Anderson Varejão minutes were terrible, like, okay, that's a one-off, it's a game, all right, I get it, but
And you don't have Andrew Bogut, searching for answers.
But, like, I had some specific X's and O's lineup beefs in a closeout game in the finals, that's different. My bigger thing for the last couple of years has been, like, Steve, you got to play the young guys. If they're on your roster and they're going to be a part of your team moving forward, you have to be committed to playing them through the mistakes. Part of the development is it's not linear and it's not going to be always upward. You're going to have some forward, some back, some up, some down. There's going to be a little bit of everything. But it's your job to find out, does this guy need my arm wrapped around him? Do I need to kick him in the pants? Or do I need to not talk to him? And I think he's done a poor job connecting with some of the young players and empowering them to be their best. And that's the Jordan Poole thing. The most frustrating for me is that it felt like he did empower Jordan Poole. And it felt like he did reach heights that I never thought he could reach. And then, that second year wasn't as good after the great ascension. And they just gave up on it. And then the whole Jeremy Lamb and it's just all of that. It was just too much for me. And so, like, I look at Moses Moody and I'm like, if I ask Steve Kerr, what exactly have you been trying to accomplish with Moses Moody these last couple of years? I think his answer would be, I really don't know.
I don't even know, and that's the cold part about it. I don't even know if Moses Moody is a legit two guard. But
I agree with that.
I thought when D'Anthony Melton went down, and Moses Moody unfortunately had the knee injury, so he was out for a couple weeks, and that stunk. Because I thought it was a great opportunity for him. But I even thought with Schroeder coming aboard, I said, boy, just give him a crack. Give him a crack to start, and let's see what it looks like next to Steph. Now, he may not even be that great. He may not be. But the fact is, it's year number four, and I don't know. We don't know. Hell, Moses Moody probably doesn't know. So, 888-957-9570 is a number.
But
so
isn't it perplexing that they gave him an contract?
No, well, I understand why they do it, because it's a tradable asset. So you give him the extension for 3 years, $39 million, and you can staple that on to another player if you do make a trade. I understand it from that aspect, from the business standpoint of it.
But, like, see, to me, and this goes, I think this goes back to coach being in sync with your front office. Guys, it's the fourth year of having him on the roster, right. and it's a nagging issue where we can't get him off the bench and we can't, like, figure him out. Like, we either had to move him or we had to find a way to utilize him, and right. I feel like we don't. Now, here's the one thing that I get frustrated with. The 3 and 4 guard lineups at times are very frustrating. I will defend him on this. Finding the right combo to play opposite Steph has been tricky. You play Buddy Hield, you get no defense. You play GP2, you get no offense. They don't, again, I go back to the two guard. They don't have that legit plug-and-play two guard.
888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll play to Steve Kerr on the other side. As he was asked about TJD's nice game, you'll hear how spicy he got. We'll play more Steph Curry sound. 888-957-9570. If you're running the Warriors, Roasters, if you're running the Warriors, what is your move you're going to make? What is the move you're going to make? Is it trading a player? Is it firing a coach? Is it trading a superstar? What are you going to do if you had a move to make and you were running the Warriors? 888-957-9570 is the number. We got a break, Shasky, as the segment was sponsored by Safeway.